If you could please turn your Bibles to Joel. We'll be reading from chapter 1 and a bit of chapter 1 and then chapter 2. So we'll be going from Joel 1 to 13 and then 2 will go from 12 to 17. So Joel chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, "Hear this, O elders, and listen, all inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or in the fathers' days? Tell your sons about it, and let your sons tell their sons, and their sons the next generation. What the gnawing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. And what the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust has eaten. And what the creeping locust has left, the stripping locust has eaten. Awake, drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you wine drinkers, on the account of the sweet wine that is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has invaded my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion, and it has huge fangs of a lioness. It has made my wine, my vine a waste, and my fig tree splinters. It has stripped them bare and cast them away. Their branches have become white. Wail like a virgin girded with sackcloth, for the bridegroom of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord. The field is ruined, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new vine dries up, fresh oil fails. Be ashamed, O farmers, wail, O vine dressers. For the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed, the vine dries up and the fig trees fail. The pomegranate and the palm also, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field dry up. Indeed, rejoicing dries up from the sons of men." And then Joel chapter 2, from 12 to 17. "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, 'Spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations.' Why should they among the people say, 'Where is your God?'" Amen. Amen. So Joel, you know, even for me when I was studying the book of Joel, I found it kind of a bit of a redundant, I shouldn't say God's word is redundant, but the book of Joel, I found the reason why I say that is it was written in about 850 to about 7, scholars believe it's probably around 850 to late 700 BC, so probably like 790, 780 BC, and it long preludes Jeremiah and Isaiah. Now, Joel is one of the minor prophets, and basically what he's prophesying about is the eventual destruction of both Israel and Judah. And so we know the story, right? So what happens is King David unites the nation, Solomon comes along, messes up, marries a lot of wives, turns Israel away from God. God has enough of it. He breaks up Israel and Israel into Israel, the northern kingdom, Judah, the southern kingdom. And because of their sin, Israel goes through about 200 years of sin. And then eventually what happens is Assyria comes from the north and basically wipes them out and takes them over. And then Judah, they have a little longer. They have about 350 to 400 years before the Babylon comes and destroys them and wipes them out. And so this predates the major prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah. And both Isaiah and Jeremiah are warned, both kingdoms, that, hey, you know, imminent doom is coming. You guys, you know, you've turned away from God, you're worshiping other gods, you're sacrificing your babies, all these sort of things, turn back. And so when I was reading Joel, I came across this idea, is God, why, what's the point of a minor prophet when you have a major prophet like Jeremiah, you know, that they didn't even listen to? They have a major prophet like Isaiah, who even prophesies about the Christ, right, that's going to come, that they don't even listen to. You know, what is the point of Joel? Now, before I get to that, Let me explain a little bit first. So the idea about the locust, right? This is actually an imagery of what's going to happen. So it's not like God's going to send locusts to destroy them. That's not the case. Basically, he's describing the onslaught of the nations that are going to take over Israel and Judah. They are going to be like locusts. So when they come in, they basically ravage the entire land. They destroy their culture, destroy, you know, their farms, their fields, everything they know. And then, as we know, both Israel and Judah eventually get taken out of this land. So they actually have to be relocated as well. So the idea of the locust, actually, it's not locust. It's just the idea of, you know, the swarming armies that are going to come and destroy them if they don't repent of their sin. So why Joel? Well, for me, I would say the idea that I got is this. You know, long before God, you know, allows us to fall into sin, or long before the destruction of our own sin comes, I think this really speaks to the graciousness of God, right? God doesn't just wait until, you know, you're about to die, or, you know, you're about to do something really wrong before he tells you, wait, stop, you know? He tells them this long before destruction comes, right? He tells Israel this is about 150 years before they get taken over by Assyria, and this is about 250 years before Babylon takes over Judah. And you know, it's early in the morning. I couldn't really think of an example, but the best one I could think of is Wile E. Coyote. I know it's a cartoon, okay? But if you guys know, what happens is Wile E. Coyote, he's a cartoon character. He's a coyote, and he's obsessed with catching this bird. And please forget, you know, I'm going somewhere with it, I promise, right? And he's so obsessed with this bird in the cartoons, he can't see what's coming ahead of him. He can't tell. So I'm always remembering that when I was a kid, I remember watching this cartoon, and you see him, you know, meep, meep, pew, you know, and he runs, and he just runs after him, this bird, and he's, you know, he'll get into a contraption, like a rocket or, you know, a car, and he's driving after it, and all he can see is this bird in front of him. And all of a sudden, you see this sign coming. It's like cliff ahead. Turn around, right? And he keeps going, right? And then he keeps going and running. And of course, this bird is super agile, right? And he's running towards this cliff, and more signs are coming at him. Cliff ahead, turn around now, you know? And then cliff ahead, turn around, I really mean it, you know? And then eventually it's, why aren't you listening to me? Turn around. And then he gets to this cliff, and then obviously I forgot that bird's name now, but the bird, you know, makes it beep, beep, you know, turns around, gets it, and Wiley, what happens to him? He, like, careens off this cliff, and, you know, it's a cartoon. He doesn't die, you know, but he explodes, he gets burnt, and all these sort of things. But I would say this would be the perfect example of what Joel is to the Israelites, right? Long before they ever get into any sort of destruction, God is telling them, hey, you guys are headed the wrong way. Turn back. Turn around. Because if you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to get destroyed. You're going to get wiped out. And it's not like God wants to do it. But remember, he's trying to preserve a people. And I mean, it's going to take that sort of destruction for them to turn back to God. But even before then, he's saying, guys, turn back. Don't go this way. This is not right for you, right? This is not right for my people. Not because I'm a killjoy, but look, this is actually really bad for you. And so the first point that I would go to is this. Take heed of the small signs that God puts into your life, right? And by the small signs is this, right? I mean, we're all Christians, or I hope that we're all Christians, and we know, you know, PSAM tells us, right? For my sheep know my voice, right? And as Christians, we've accepted the Holy Spirit, you know, we've accepted Christ into our hearts. You know that inkling when you're doing something, like, you know you're not supposed to. We were in house church yesterday, and we were talking about downloading movies. We were talking about, you know, what is an idol in your life and stuff like that. And because P. Nate was talking about shows and stuff like that, actually, Steph, my wife, actually confessed to the house church, you know, Ricky told me many times not to do it, but because I'm so obsessed with The Bachelor. And that's a horrible show, by the way. Don't watch it. You can't find love like that, okay? But she's like, let me watch it. Stop screaming at the TV. Anyway, so she keeps like downloading these shows, you know. Streaming's not wrong. And anyway, so, you know, but she would always say, you know, Ricky keeps telling me these things, but I know even when I'm doing it, you know, there's this thing in my heart that, you know, like, maybe I shouldn't, you know, but this show is so good. You know, I want to download it. Or, you know, the big one was Modern Family. I totally didn't know this. My family was in sin, guys, but her brother apparently downloaded a whole bunch of these Modern Family things, shows, and put it onto her computer. And for a year, we were watching it, and, you know, I didn't know. And she finally told me, oh, yeah, you know, Aaron gave it to me. And, you know, but we're not sinning because, you know, somebody else gave it to me. And I was like, now we are still saying. And so I ended up going out and buying the box set. And anyway, so that's totally another story. But the idea is this, right? When God knows you're going in the wrong direction, he's going to give you people around you. He's going to have community with you. He's going to have the authorities around you to tell you, hey, guys, look, it's not this way. Turn around. And I don't think it's any more clear than what Joel here is saying is, listen to the people that are around you. And look, this is going to seem very self-seeking, but in many ways, listen to your leaders. Listen to your house church leaders. If you don't have an authority or people around you that you trust, pray that God brings them to you, because it is much better for you to listen to them and to avoid whatever is ahead of you than to have to go through it and to be destroyed, right? And I mean, you guys know Larry's not just a close friend. He's like a father to me. He's like a spiritual father. And I can't tell you how many times his wisdom has saved me from doing stupid things. And it's mainly within, like, you know, the ministry, right? But also, even with my relationship with Steph. You know, Ricky, why are you doing this, right? Or Ricky, you know, remember to love your wife. Ricky, remember, you know, she needs to know that she's heard. All these sort of things. And I know sometimes I'll be like, really, Larry? You know, I think I know my wife, right? And then, you know, I do something stupid and I realize, oh, okay, so he was right all along. And so I've really grown to trust him. But the truth of the matter is, he has given me so much advice that has kept me from doing something stupid and wrong. And it's not just for me, too. It's also to protect my wife. It's to protect my ministries. It's to protect those that are under my care. And I can't tell you how thankful I am to have something like this. And so, you know, if there's anything that you can take from Joel, is this: take heed of the early signs that God gives to you when you know you're sinning. You know, that sort of feeling in your heart, you know something's not right, and just follow it. And secondly, listen to those who are around you. Now, something that I kind of want to touch on quickly is the idea of hypergrace. And I'm not going to get into it, but you know the whole thing of, you know, grace is all you need, right? And so we can do whatever we want. Grace is all you need. You know, I don't understand, but this is kind of human condition, right? We know something is bad for us, but we always seem to keep going and going and going. We want to see how close to this cliff we can get before we go careening off of it, right? Well, some things you can recover from. Some things you can't, right? You're right. You know, Joel chapter 2 talks about, you know, you can always turn back to God. God's graciousness is always there for you. You can always go to him and repent, right? But it's not just about you repenting. Your sin can drive not just you into deep, deep hurt, but it can also drive those around you into deep, deep hurt. And specifically, speaking to husbands here too, right? If you're watching porn, don't do it, right? Because it's not just about you in this case. Your wife is going to get so hurt when she finds out. Mainly because, you know, she's going to go through issues of, you know, am I not desirable enough? Do I not, you know, am I not good enough for him, right? And not only is it going to hurt your wife in that way, you know, it's going to hurt your marriage as well, right? Because your intimacy is not going to be as good, you know, and all of these things, right? And it's not just porn. It could be a lot of different things, right? It could be drugs, you know. And recently, I found out that someone pretty close to my family got pretty hard into hard drugs. And I was actually kind of pretty upset about it, because she started off with marijuana. And her parents, I remember telling her all the time, you know, don't do it, right? And don't get into that stuff. It's a slippery slope. And marijuana is, you know, I had a lot of friends that did it. You know, it really doesn't do all these bad things to you as the hard drugs do. But the idea behind it wasn't so much that you shouldn't just do marijuana, but, you know, the friends that you have around you right now, you should just get away. But, you know, she didn't do it. And eventually what happened was marijuana turned into something called ketai, and I can't really explain what that is. And then it turned into cough syrup, and then cough syrup turned into heroin, and then heroin turned into cocaine. And she's not doing very well anymore. She's not doing so well in that, you know, I don't know if she's going to be able to turn back. And, you know, maybe I'll just straight up say it, right? Like, her family is just destroyed over this. You know, her family is just so distraught over it. They cry over it. They don't even know what to do. They try to get her help. She doesn't want any help. You know, and the idea is this, right? If she could have just walked away when she was on marijuana, or, you know, walked away from her friends or listened to her parents, she could have avoided all of these things. And it's not just even about her now as well. Yeah, you know, her life is important, but because of her choices, her family is just distraught. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I hope she doesn't die from this. You know, I hope she doesn't OD from whatever she's doing now, because she goes missing for days. We don't know what, you know, where she is and stuff like that. So turn back, you know. If you're doing something in your life that you know is not right, and I know this is a very extreme example, but you never know. You know, it's just human nature for us to go further and further and further until we get to a point where we just can't turn back. So repent. I mean, I feel like a modern day, you know, end time prophet. I feel like everything I'm preaching about lately has been, you know, turn around, repent, Israel, all these sort of things. But it's true. Turn around. And the last thing is this, and this verse particularly caught my eye, especially now with Lauren. And it comes from chapter 1, verse 3. It says, tell your sons about it, and let your sons tell their sons, and their sons the next generation. And the idea behind it is this, right? Learn your lessons well. Learn them well, not just for yourself, but learn them for your sons and your daughters. You know, I've never had this fear in my life before. And it's not so much a fear, but a fear of God. But, you know, I remember when I used to hear P. Sam preach about it, all these sort of things, right? I'd be like, okay, I in some ways I understand, but it's never been as real as it is to me now. All the things that I've went through, right, in my life, the humbling, the 2 years in Beijing, you know, being stripped of everything, no money, no friends, you know, all these sort of things was a necessary part of my life, okay, for me to get here, right, to remain humble, all these sort of things. Not saying that I am now, but it was necessary. I wouldn't want Lauren to go through what I had to go through because, man, it was so hard, right? I don't want her to have to make the same mistakes I did. I don't want her to have to go through the same humbling process because I know, like, I'm not saying that God isn't going to redeem whatever it is that she's going to do or he didn't redeem what I went through. But man, if it's okay, if it's unnecessary, and if she's able to live her life without these things, I would much rather her not, because I don't want her to have to suffer this way, to be honest, right? And you guys may ask, oh man, you know, how bad was your life, all these sort of things. Well, maybe it wasn't so bad compared to some other people, but when I was going through it, man, it was hell, man. And I don't want her to go through it. Now imagine if I don't learn these lessons for myself. And because of my own sin, she follows in my footsteps. Because I wasn't able to learn from my own problems and follow God and to repent, and I bring this to her, and now in her life she has the same issues of pride or issues of, you know, reliance, self-reliance and wealth and all these things. God is going to bring her through the exact same process that he had to bring me through. And the whole idea of generational curses in this way, that's the whole idea behind it is, you know, because we were unable to turn back, the rest of our family, the rest of the generations after us, they don't have a model to know what we need to do. And I don't want that for her. You know, and Joel is exactly saying the same thing here is, he says this, especially to Judah, right? There were, and this is around the time of, let me say Israel, this was the time of about Jehu. I remember the story of Jehu, and he kills Jezebel. who's married to King Ahab. And remember, Ahab was a king that just let things happen. He didn't follow God at all. He worshipped, he set up temples, all these sort of things. And this was many, many, many years, many generations before God finally decides to let Israel just get perished and destroyed, right? I don't know what's going to happen with Lauren. I'm going to have a hand in her life. I don't know what's going to happen with her kids. I'll probably know what happens with her kids, but I may not know what happens with her kids' kids and her kids' kids and her kids' kids. And knowing what my family has been through, I don't ever want my family to ever walk away from God. This is the truth. Because there's just too much to walk away from. There's too much peace to walk away from. There's too much security to walk away from. There's too much goodness, blessing, boundaries to walk away from. And so that's the whole idea behind it, is repent. Learn the lessons that you have in this life so you can follow God with all of your heart to avoid calamity, and then so you can teach your children about it so that they don't walk in the same things that we do. And so let's close our eyes. And let Holy Spirit speak to you. Is there anything in your life right now, big or small, right? It could be something as big as drugs, you know, pornography, or even as small as, you know, maybe you cheated on something or you lied. Maybe you, you know, since we're talking about, maybe you've been downloading movies, right? Or, you know, whatever the case may be, don't do it. It's a small thing today. But, you know, as we walk further and further away from God, as we, you know, devoid ourselves, and as we stop listening to the Spirit that's within us, eventually it'll get to the day where God may just say, okay, if you don't want to listen, you don't need to. And then he allows you to go a little further. Right? Just like the family friend, you know, it starts with marijuana. It's not a big thing. Right? She knew from the beginning, oh yeah, you know. And then she went a step further to cough syrup, right? And then, oh yeah, you know, a step further to heroin. And then a step further to cocaine. Let's not need to get there before we heed God's word. Let's not need to get to this point where we're so far from God that we always need to rebuild. Let's heed him now. Because he is good, and he's good for us. And so let's really respond to God. Let's really worship him and thank him for the boundaries and for the grace that he has for us.
Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted up.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Let's take a minute to also thank God for the people He's placed into our lives, yeah? Let's praise Him that He doesn't want us to be destroyed. He doesn't want to lead us into destruction, but rather He wants the best for us. Let's really praise God for every heed, every inkling, every word of repentance. Let's just say, God, thank you that you love me enough to let me know these things. Thank you that you love me enough to convict me of these things. Let's take a minute just to pray. Attention to our community. Let's really pray for those who are suffering from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's really pray and claim God's word of healing over them. Let's really ask that God brings wisdom to those that are treating them, and peace and comfort to them and their families, and understanding of their situation as well. Let's really pray. pray for those in our community who are suffering from physical illness but also need salvation. Let's really pray that God opens their eyes and their ears, that they will know, they will see and hear Him. Let's also pray that God will heal them as well. You know, in the Bible, the word for salvation and healing is the same word, sozo. So let's really pray that God really does something in their lives and to prevent them from, you know, whatever the case may be, whether it's calamity or illness. Let's really pray that God speaks to them and touches their lives. Pray for those who are suffering from non-cancer related issues. Let's really pray for covering over them as well. Let's pray for God's strengthening and healing. Pray for those looking for work. Let's really ask for God's favor over them. Let's really pray that something, whatever it is, that, you know, whenever interviewers see them or see their resumes, there's just something about them that they want for their team. Let's pray for a preparation of their hearts as well, you know, for whatever mission field that God's going to put them into. Let's pray for God's physical provision, you know, financial provision, peace as well to cover them, you know, especially if they've been out of work for a long time. Let's really pray that, you know, they recognize their identities in God as well and not in their work. So let's really cover our friends. Pray for Singapore. Let's pray for SPSG and Indonesia. Let's pray for Phoebe, our Indonesian ministry. So let's really pray for Pastor Selamat and the church in Kupang as well. Let's really cover Sam Kim, Pastor Sam Kim, and Annie and the kids as they're going to make a transition down to Singapore as well. Let's pray for their physical safety eventually when they do move, but spiritually to be able to be set in place and for the growth of SPSG as well. Let's really cover them. Also pray for our mission committee. If you could pray for us, let's really pray for a desire to be excellent in all that we do, whether it's serving our missionaries or being able to make good decisions and how to use the money of the church wisely. And if you can as well, if you could really pray for Janella and also the team going to Davao in 2 weeks, just to really pray covering over them, pray that God protects them, pray for logistics, and just that he will do his work through them as well. So you can cover the committee, the trip, and also our families. Also cover our outreach. Let's really cover the community center. It's being used both by FEBE to teach English and also their services. Let's cover IGAPE, Homie Ministry, SP Lights. Let's cover the Freedom as well, which is our prison ministry. Homie is our cut rooms ministry, where we go visit those in cut rooms. SP Lights is also our ministry where we speak with those in the red light district. And so let's really pray for them. Let's really pray for our ministers, that God will really speak through them as well. Pray that God really does a mighty work in this city through them. Cover our Friday evening activities. Tonight will be SPUs. Let's really cover P-Hyunsu, and also the college students. EG, so P-Sam, and then GIC, if you can really pray for me. Let's really pray that God really meets with each of our groups and really just speaks to us and into our hearts. Let's also pray for the house churches that will be happening tonight. Let's pray for McCain and Discovery Bay. Let's pray for the leaders, for refreshing for them. But let's also pray for the members. Let's pray for unity in the house church, and for God to also show up tonight as well. Lent prayer. Today we'll be reading Psalm 24, but let's pray for the Faith Community Church this morning, for Pastor Stephen Wong. Let's pray that in their community that people will continue to find God and to make Him real in their lives. Let's pray for God to really show up in their church. Let's really pray that there'll be unity in the church. Pray that God, the Heavenly Father, will grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know Him better. In this way, the church may grow in the breadth, numbers, and depth, and spiritual maturity. Let's pray that God, that Jesus will empower their ministry, that the teams will be built up, to stand firm in one spirit, to contend as one man for faith of the gospel. Let's really pray for the Holy Spirit as a counselor, to really give them holiness and righteousness in what they do as well. So let's really cover this church and for Pastor Stephen Wong. Father, we just want to thank you, God, and to give you praise, Lord, for your faithfulness, God, and your kindness and your gentleness in our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Jesus, Lord, that you know there is grace that covers us. But God, help us, Lord, not just to take advantage of grace, Lord, or you know, not just to look at grace, but to realize, God, that we too, Lord, should seek holiness and righteousness in our lives. Father, help us, God, to hear your voice, Lord. God, as your sons and daughters, Lord, we just want to do your will. We just want to love you, God, and we just want to bless you. So, God, help us, Lord. If there's something in our lives, God, that we can't let go of, help us. Speak to us, Lord. Bring people around us, God, so that we can take heed to your word. And God, forgive us, Lord, when we walk away from you. Father, may your spirit always be with us, Lord. Thank you. And so, God, I just want to cover my friends. Lord, I pray, Lord, for covering over their relationships, God, their loved ones, God, their families, their workplaces, God, all things that pertain to them. God, I just want to pray from covering over backlash as well. And Lord, I ask, God, as they go, Lord, today, as they finish off the week, Lord, will you just really meet with them as well? Father, may the blessing of the Lord fall on them and the favor of God be with them, Lord. God, help them, Lord, in this week, God, to make, you know, to be good testimonies, Lord, to who you are in their lives. And help them, God, to also learn the lessons in their lives, God, so they too, God, can be a blessing to those around them, God. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. We praise you, God. We lift you up, Jesus, in your Son's most precious name, Lord. Amen. Have a good time of prayer. Bless you, and we'll see you back tomorrow morning.